Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Come on, can we just do this? Can we stretch out our vocal cords? You can be seated if you want to, but man, can we just give Jesus a round of praise and a round of honor? Jesus, we thank you. Jesus, you are amazing. Jesus, you are amazing. Come on. I feel like after this weekend, I need to have an IV hookup of caffeine. Come on, somebody. I think this is round six since Friday afternoon. So praise the Lord. You know, I was talking to a gentleman, a minister friend of mine, who's going to try to come out at least on Friday night, but he was under the weather. And I told him about how many times I was speaking. He said, man, that is a lot of times to come up with different messages. But how many of you know that God has a lot to say? And it's fun because I saw this meme, and it had Whoopi Goldberg in it. And I guess it was like when she was younger, and it was a scene of a movie, and she was holding her Bible, and she was looking over the brim of her glasses. And the meme said, this book is too big to be preaching the same thing every Sunday. How many of you know you serve a big God who has a lot on his heart, and it's an honor to be able to open up this and have Holy Spirit expound upon it, but it's also amazing to lean our ear into the chest of Jesus and hear his heartbeat. And hear, because watch this, with every thump of his heart is new revelation and worlds of beautiful information that is open to us if we're willing to just seek him. Can I tell you something? God hates spiritual ignorance. He hates spiritual ignorance. He doesn't hate those who are ignorant. He just hates ignorance because there is so much he wants to reward our soul with. And that's why I believe that he entices us to seek him. Because watch this, there is so much that he knows that he wants to impart. And he imparts that information, that revelation, that beauty to the seeker. The Bible says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to seek it out. You know, I'm going to say this. There is things in the Lord that are anticipating. They have this expectation, this excitement to see their reflection in your eyes. Amen. That just went over some of y'all's head. There is things within God that are living, that are expectant, excited to see their reflection in your eyes. Meaning he wants us to seek him so that our eyes can lay a hold of those things that are in him. And the anticipation that the things of God that are in God, the anticipation, the excitement that they have is we want to see our reflection on the eyes of the seeker. We want to be discovered. We want to be found. So good. So before I jump in to what I feel like the Lord wants me to share with you guys, I want to release something over this house. This house is about ready to get a major download of wisdom. Not that you guys are uneducated, not that you guys don't have revelation, but I believe there's this beautiful, overwhelming wisdom that is about ready to be imparted that is actually going to inflate your function. I believe this, wisdom and understanding that is received enhances what you do. Some of you are like, well, you say, what? Like carry the 215? Let me say, listen. This doesn't have to be complicated mathematics, okay? It doesn't have to be hard English. How many of you know that when you operate and function in a specific level of wisdom, you do well, but as you grow in that wisdom, watch this, as you grow in understanding, as you grow in revelation, it enhances, it empowers, and it expands what a person does. Amen. Like I'm a hunter, I love to hunt. And if you're a vegetarian or a vegan in this place, I'm so sorry, but we'll pray for your deliverance later, because meat is good and I like hunting it. But anyways, and trying to fish for it, but I suck at fishing, man. And yes, I said suck. I suck at fishing. I don't know a better way of putting it, right? But can I tell you something? That there's things that I'll read. There's things that I'll research sometimes by just like watching YouTube videos of hunters, man. You know, like whenever hunting season comes up, I am eyes glued to hunting movies, you know, and shows. It stirs an expectation that I'm going to kill the monster buck. You know what I'm saying? But whenever I watch those things, it stirs my excitement. But whenever I glean from it and get wisdom and understand it, it enhances and expands my function. It expands what I do. And I just want to just release this over you, Pastor Brian and Pastor Hannah, and just for the leadership and for this church, if this is your home church, God is going to impart some amazing wisdom to enhance what you do that will lead to an enhancement of what you see. Because if, watch this, if I enhance what I do, there's a law of attraction where people want me to do what I do well. And watch this, whenever I do something well and people ask me to come and do what I do well, I'm going to see things increase, I'm going to see things prosper, and it came from wisdom and an enhanced function. And I just declare over you guys that you are doing things well. You guys are doing things well, but the Lord says, I am bringing a wisdom, a vision, and a burden that is going to enhance what you do, and it's going to increase what you see. And I just want to release this over you guys as well. I believe I had this vision earlier in worship of a split between the rafters of this church, like a split. Don't be freaked out. Like, is there going to be a church split? Just relax, okay? But if it happens, just remember this word. Now I'm just messing. But I just saw a big old crack go into the center of this church. It was like an aerial view, and I just saw this church split open. But then I heard, or I saw, like almost like the Lord, and it was needles, or maybe it was like swords, but he was actually sewing the split back up. And I just want to release over you guys, not that you experienced a church split, not that you guys are going to experience a church split, but I believe that just represents whatever is broken, whatever has been fragmented, whatever has been split in two that is meant to be whole. God is bringing a soundness and a wholeness in this hour to families and to this church and to leadership. God is going to bring a connection, a unity, a restoration, and God is going to knit things together and heal and mend what was broken. Amen. There might have been things inflicted on personal families and personal people or in this church that has created a wound in the skin, split the skin open. But God says, this is a season that you guys are going to experience amazing mending and healing as the Lord's tender hands, full of compassion and love, come and knit things back together as one. So, Lord, we release that in Jesus' name, and everybody say, amen. All right, guys, let's jump into this. I want to try my best to get you out here at a decent time. The Lord has been speaking. The Lord has been releasing some amazing things. The Lord has a lot to say, and so do I, but I'm going to try my best to plow through this, because I really believe the Lord wants me to share this. And today I'm not going to take requests to repeat myself. I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to hit it and go. Is that okay? I'm going to hit it and go. Listen to the message later when wherever it's at, YouTube and wherever, and then pray and say, God, can you expound upon this? Because I'm not going to take time to expound upon certain things. I just want to hit it and go. Is that okay? So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to John chapter 13. Now, we're going to read a large portion of Scripture here, but just roll with me. How many of you know the Word of God is good? And if anything, you got Scripture. So if the message is bad, you can say we still got some good Scripture. You know what I'm saying? But in John chapter 13, I want us to look at verse 1. We're going to start with verse 1. We're going to go the whole way down to verse 14, okay? And it says this. Now, before the feast of the Passover, now I want you to remember that, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And the supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garment, took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Of course, Peter would say something like that. Man, I would be the disciple to look at Peter and be like, "Shut up. Shut up." Now, anyways, Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." And I love how Peter had instant repentance. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." Before we pray, I want to bring our attention to something that just stuck out to me, and then I'll bring something else up later that stuck out to me. But I love this because it says that, so when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, so, for so I am.' If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." I want to pause for the cause and say this. Did you see how he took his garments off momentarily, just for a moment? But then he got his garments back, and he was able to sit down. Can I tell you something? My question is to you, are you willing, right, to give things up if it requires it to be permanently? Are you willing to put things away or put things aside momentarily to be able to honor the Lord and to honor your brother? Come on, somebody. See, a lot of people, watch this, they're not willing to take off their garment because, watch this, they selfishly, come on, honor what benefits them, and they're not willing to lay it aside to serve someone else. But let me just encourage you guys with this. There is things that God might ask you to put aside momentarily to serve someone else, but I'm here to encourage you. You can get it back later. I believe God wants us to be fueled with such a love and a compassion in our marriages and in our relationships where we say we are willing to take this garment off if it means the betterment of my relationship and the encouragement and strength of somebody else. And if I never pick it back up again, so be it, because what I have gained by taking it off was worth it. I'm not going to selfishly hold on to something that holds me back from serving my brother. I'm going to willingly lay it aside. What are you talking about? Watch this. This is a garment you should lay aside permanently and never pick back up again. But if you want to pick it back up again, okay, you and the Lord are going to have to deal with this. But sometimes we got to be willing, come on, somebody, to put aside pride, come on, to be able to serve somebody humbly. Sometimes, come on, we've got to put aside our agenda, right?
Because watch this, we should not allow ourselves to think that when someone is in need and we have something to give, we should not think that this person is an interruption or a nag, come on somebody, or a distraction. Because believe me, the enemy will send distractions, but God will also send you people that the enemy's trying to convince you is a disruption and an interruption and an annoying person. The enemy will try to get you to believe that, but God will send you those kinds of people that seem annoying, but God says, I want you to put aside your agenda. I want you to put aside what you're shooting for, and I want you to serve someone else and be a motivating force that pushes them towards what they are shooting for. Can I tell you something? To serve somebody, you might have to get inconvenienced sometimes. Come on. Sometimes to serve people, you're going to have to put aside, come on, your day and your time, right? And invest that into someone else to help them have a better day. But let me just encourage you with this. God is so good that he will reward those who are willing to put their garments aside momentarily. Did you see that? He got his garments back, man, and he sat down again. Can I tell you something? Part of God's agenda for your life and purpose for your life is to serve people. And sometimes to serve people, you're going to have to lay aside something and fight the temptation of thinking that this person is annoying and an interruption. Sometimes you've got to put aside you needing to be the center of attention, come on, to make someone else the center of attention. Sometimes you've got to put aside your preconceived ideas of what God is calling you to so that you can actually embrace your true calling, and that is the person that God has sent your way that you thought was an interruption. Sometimes you're going to have to put aside, and these are garments you should not pick it back up again. Sometimes you're going to have to put aside your own personal opinion of that person and put on the eyes of your Savior and function from that place. Come on. See, sometimes you've got to take something off because, watch, God will address you to redress you. God will say, you know what? I'm going to put a new garment on you. I'm going to put a new perspective on you, but I need you to take the old one off that you have of that person. Sometimes we got to allow the Lord, not sometimes, all the time, we need to allow the Lord to reposture our heart. Come on. To where he knocks our mind out of our natural thought and response towards people. And bring us into the function of the kingdom to where that becomes normal. Is this making sense? But I love how he was willing to momentarily put certain things aside to be able to serve his brothers. But the amazing thing is he got his garments back. So the garments that you're supposed to lay aside momentarily, don't selfishly keep them on because you don't think you'll ever get it back. Don't allow your garment to be the wall that separates you from serving, for loving, for laying your life down for your friend. But let me just encourage you that when God doesn't overlook the sacrifice you made to bless the people he sent your way is what I'm trying to say. You'll sit again. You'll get your garments again. God's just looking for people who are willing to lay aside something to radically serve the one that he's brought their way. That's just the kingdom. So let us pray. Jesus, I just pray that you would use this time to speak to our hearts and to encourage us. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you help me to make sense of what I believe I'm hearing from the Lord in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. The title of this brief message is, You Are Welcomed. You are welcomed. So first of all, I love this. Jesus says at the end of the passage that we just read, he's like, what you've seen me do, I want you to do. When true understanding of what has happened comes, I want you to now go and do likewise. So I am going to now borrow the prophetic word that I gave the church and use it for my sermon content and say to you again, when you get wisdom and understanding, it enhances what you're already doing. So Jesus says, right now you don't understand the magnitude of what I'm doing, but when you do, go and do likewise. So Jesus was being an example to those around him, come on, and reflecting the heart that God wanted the disciples to carry. See, we need to sit at the feet of Jesus, have intimacy with him in the sense of prayer and communion, fellowship with the Holy Spirit, fellowship with the Word of God, so that we can capture the heart that God wants us to carry. And when you capture the heart that God wants you to carry, garments start to come off. Those preconceived ideas that you had of someone that God wants you to lay aside and never pick back up again. God wants you, watch this, that becomes easy when you behold the heart that he wants you to carry. And then he stirs your heart and convicts your heart to carry it. Man, I don't know about you, but I want to be one who carries the heart of God. But you can never, watch this, carry and reflect what you haven't captured. So you need to seek so you can find, and in that finding, you capture the heart that God wants you to run with. See, the example that Jesus was not him just being obedient to the heart of God for the moment. His example was a reflection of what God wanted his disciples to carry. And if you, and I love this because Jesus resembles, his example is he laid off his garment to serve his brother. Can I tell you something? Jesus stripped himself away from heaven. Come on, somebody. Came as a child in a virgin named Mary. Was then birthed and wrapped up in swaddling clothes and placed in a manger. Come on, somebody. He put aside his divinity, even though he was still divine, to put on humanity, to rescue humanity. What are you willing to put aside for humanity? Because the Lord says that I want people that are selfless, that will take upon my heart and carry it well. What is his example? Because watch, Jesus' example is a reflection of God's heart that he wants us to capture and carry. And it's not just washing feet here because that's easy. Come on, somebody. Jesus, watch this, was crucified for humanity. Are you willing to do something that might cause you to be crucified for the betterment of the people that you're called to? Are you willing to fall on your face and die on the cross so that you can lovingly love your brother and represent and carry God's heart? But here it is, Jesus watched, he put aside his life so that we could put on life. Watch this, Jesus physically, come on somebody, put aside his garments to serve his brothers. Jesus figuratively put aside his life so that he could robe us with life. Are we willing to take on that kind of heart for humanity? That though they slander and persecute us and make fun of us, we look at them and say, I will put aside my personal opinion and I will carry the heart of God and reflect it towards you. I don't want to welcome you right now, but I'm going to welcome you by serving you. Come on. Because you know, whenever you would, I'm getting ahead of my sermon, but that's okay. Do you know whenever you would serve somebody and wash their feet, it was a hospitable thing, but it was to say you are welcomed here. You are welcomed here. So Jesus is showing them, you are welcome to this kind of lifestyle, and you have access to me. You are welcome to my kingdom. You are welcome to follow me by washing his disciples' feet. But whenever he put aside his garment called life so that we could receive life, what he was saying is, welcome to my kingdom. See, God, watch this, doesn't want you to condone people, but he wants you to love them where they feel welcome. Real quick, can I tell you something? This church is serving a great purpose, going after some amazing things. Leadership has put aside something to enhance something else. My question is to the one who comes day in and day out, what are you willing to let go of so that you can serve alongside of those who are serving a good purpose? Well, Ryan, you just, because watch this. What makes you uncomfortable reveals an idol you might have. If God asks you to do something and it makes you uncomfortable and you don't want to do it, there's an idol. And you know what I believe God wants to do? He wants to pull out your idols. Can I tell you something? Whenever it comes to tithing and you clench your checkbook real tight, come on, somebody, your checkbook might be your idol. And you've got to put aside the urge and not put it back on, but put aside the urge to hold back the check and give the check. How many of you like clean black bathrooms in a church? Come on, somebody. I hate going into a bathroom anywhere, and it's mellowing, it's yellow and mellowing. It stinks, it's nasty, and I don't like it. I don't care if I'm a dude. I like cleanliness to a degree. You go to my bedroom, you ask my wife, it probably looks like I don't like cleanliness, but there is certain cleanlinesses I do like, and I don't like stink, and I don't like dirt, and I don't like BO, and I don't like those kind of things. So, But how many of y'all like clean bathrooms? Can I tell you something? Why don't we serve what we like? Why don't we become the one, come on somebody, that humbles ourselves, puts aside a little bit of our time, we'll get it back, and helps somebody clean the bathrooms at church? We like it and we demand it, but will we serve it? Can I say that again? We like it, we want it, we love it, we want some more of it, but are we willing to put aside some time and serve it? Jesus liked his life. I don't think he wanted to be under such great stress that he sweat great drops of blood, but he put aside his personal opinion and said, Father, if this cup could pass from me, so be it. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And guess what he did? He picked up the cup that he didn't want to drink. He put aside his personal opinion to serve humanity who he loved and liked. Come on, somebody. And he drank what he didn't want to drink so that we could be who God wanted us to be. He didn't want to give up his life, but he needed to give up his life so that we could be robed with righteousness. He put aside the robe of life so that we could put on the robe of righteousness and have our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What a selfless act to welcome us in. And my question is, what idol are you holding on to that becomes a wall that separates you from serving? I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm just trying to encourage you. Because watch this. We want a good marriage. We like a good marriage. We love our wife and we would love to have a good marriage. We want more good stuff that comes from the marriage. We want it. We like it, but we're not willing to serve it. I'm going to just say something really, really bold here, okay? For the married men in this house, come on, somebody. We like the bedroom. And I'm just going to keep it PG because there might be some kids in here and there is some teens. We like the bedroom, come on, somebody. But we don't like the mop. We like the axe in the bedroom, but we're not willing to to fire up the oven. Can I tell you something? Whenever I do things that speak to my wife's love language, whoa. And there's women that are like, yep, that's right. Preach it, brother. Can I tell, let me just say this. You like and you want more bedroom time. Can I tell you something? You need to be willing to serve with a mop. Women are like, amen. The men are like, shut up. Shut up. No. Is this making sense? We want people, like Jesus wanted us, so he needed to put aside so that he could receive and welcome us. I got to move on. Don't get mad at me. I'm just trying to use examples here. We like it, we want it, but we've got to serve it. So watch this. Jesus is an example for us to follow. He shows us the Father's heart. And can I tell you something? The Bible says, if you desire to come after me, you must first deny yourself. If you're ever to willingly serve somebody, you might have to be willing to put an idol aside that you'll never pick up again. Well, I just don't understand why my wife doesn't love. No, I love her. I provide for her. I go to work from 9 to 5. But that's not what she needs. We do what is easy, but God is saying, I need you to do something that is hard that might crucify something in you. For there to be something resurrected in her, to be put on her, to bless her. Man, I like when my pastor's refreshed, and I like when my pastor's anointed and strong and clear-headed. I like that. I want that. And we get selfish. We're like, why aren't they offering that? Well, maybe God is actually showing you your calling. Serve them and give them a gift card to a retreat so they can get refreshed and give you what you want. Give me the gift card first. No, I'm just playing. No. Just real quick, I love this because Jesus, before the Passover, releases such truth in this example. He gives them such truth in this example that when I'm gone, this is what I want you to apply in your life. I want you to serve one another. And I love how it's right before Passover that he gives them such a profound truth. I believe if we apply God's word, there's a lot of things that will pass over us and not affect us. The Bible says that we're supposed to have the breastplate of righteousness on. Breastplate protects the vitals. So if I walk out my righteousness with fear and trembling, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. If I put the word of God that he speaks and hide it in my heart so I don't sin against God, my vitals are protected from things that were assigned to me but pass over me because I've submitted to God and the devil flees. Let me just say this. You want protected in this season of inflation? Make sure you continue to have a seed in the ground so that you have an advantage over poverty. This is not a season to hoard because we like money. We love money. We like it, we want it, we want more of it. But can I tell you something? In the midst of inflation, I give myself an extreme error if I don't continue to put a seed in the ground. I'm not trying to get your money. I'm not trying to increase the tithes of this church, but if it happens, praise God. But can I tell you something? We like, I'm not saying serve money, but are we willing to serve God so that we can get what we like and we want some more of it? We love honoring God when it's convenient, but are we willing to lay aside the garment and say you're welcomed? We want to hear the voice of God,
But are we willing to put aside our preconceived idea and opinion to receive what he is saying so it rules and reigns in our life? But Passover, he speaks this truth before Passover. Can I tell you this? The truth spoken is the covering of love. It's love's covering. Truth applied upon the mind, heart, and lifestyle is like the blood applied to the doorpost. Because this is before Passover. Remember how I said if you apply the word, things pass over? This is before Passover. And Jesus is like, if you serve in this way, there's a whole lot of things that are going to pass over your relationship. If you can get this kind of heart to love and to serve your brothers, no matter if you have Judases in your midst, those opinions and thoughts that you could have that are justified because of Judas's behavior pass over because God has won your heart. Does this make sense? David says, I hide your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. Sin passed over because what was hidden in his heart. And isn't it crazy? Jesus is giving just another truth before Passover, and truth applied upon, and you apply it, you function in it, you make a choice to give yourself away to it. Truth applied upon the mind, heart, and lifestyle is like the blood applied to the doorpost, where the one who applies the word to mind, heart, and lifestyle is the one who will have Passover. Will have a Passover. Amen. I've hidden God's word in my heart, and I don't sin against him, so sin passes over me. And I hid God's word in my heart that told me to speak love and truth and kindness over my bride and over my wife. Come on, somebody. Any insecure, women or men will still get insecure, but at least I'm doing what I can to serve my bride with words to wash her, to make her secure, so that some forms of insecurity will pass over her. Where division that could happen because of my behavior passes over because I've applied and chose to operate in the word. Isn't that good? So the one who applies the word to mind, heart, and lifestyle is the one who will have a Passover. And watch this. And they will have Passover what the rebellious or ignorant is swept up and swept away with. So hide the word in your heart so you don't sin against him. Jesus was sharing truth that was to be applied so that things wouldn't die. Can I tell you something? Serving makes dreams come alive, and serving, if done properly, will bring life and help, and it will help maintain the life of a dream of another. And I love this. Jesus is a server here. He's not the one getting his feet washed this time. He's the one that is the server. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 through 11 says this, as each one has received the gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom being belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Do you see how you're serving someone else brings glory to God? You're serving God's purpose and saying, God, your word is welcomed here will cause things to pass over your life and pass over other people's lives. And your serving will actually bring life to other people's dreams. And you serving other people will actually keep the life alive, the life that's already there in someone's dream. And then God gets the glory. But do you see how it says here, everyone who has received the gift, minister it to one another? I love how it says you've received the gift, and it's not God administering something to you to puff up your ego. He says, I'm giving this to you so that you can administer it, so you can minister, serve others.
This gift isn't supposed to serve you. It's supposed to serve others. That's why I will tirelessly, come on somebody, prophesy until 2 a.m. if that's what it takes, if that's how the Lord leads, because I am wanting the prophetic word of the Lord that comes through my mouth from the Lord to bring something to alive in you. Because I'm taking the gift that's not supposed to administer something to my ego, but it's to minister and serve your dream. Jesus, with the elements of foot washing, he had the basin, the towel, the water, the heart. Watch this. You were given things to use to serve. Your purpose is not to be served, but to serve. Hello? Serve God and serve people. And I'm almost done. Don't get antsy. Watch. Your purpose is not to be served, but to serve. Because watch this. A servant will attract serving. Have you ever wanted to do something good for somebody who's doing something good? Don't serve for this, but can I tell you something? If you are putting aside some personal wants and desires to serve other people's wants and desires, God's going to send someone that will get a water basin and serve you. That's why I said earlier, you get your garments back. You left go of them, but someone will bring them. Can I say this? You reach such a joy when you give what has been given. Now let me release this to you. God has given you things to administer to other people so that he gets the glory. I wrote this down. There is things God wants others to behold, and he has given it into our hands to make it happen. There is things God wants others to behold, and he has given it into our hands to make it happen. Oh, the honor to be entrusted to tenderly care for the beautiful things the Lord willingly and passionately bestows to our hands. Oh, the joy it is to honor the Lord in not only looking over what he plants within our hearts, but taking what he has sown and tend to it like a farmer over a seed that he plants. Serving is taking what is complete and blessing others who need to be made whole. Can I say that one again? I told you I wasn't going to repeat myself, but I have to. Just love me. Serving is taking what is complete, because the gifts that God gives you is complete and whole. Serving is taking what is complete and blessing others who need to be made whole. See, I got amazing partners in my ministry. They got things maybe well more put together financially than I do, and they sow into my ministry monthly, right? Because they're wanting to make my function whole, and I try to be the best steward that I can of it. I want to be even better at it. If you would know the salary I make, you'd be like, because, man, I don't want to make it about my bank account. I want to take what they've brought to bring a wholeness to my ministry, to bring serving others, to bring a wholeness to it. Is this making sense? Serving is a good form of stewardship. Stewardship is taking what has been lended to you and doing all to bless, enhance, and multiply what has been lended. And the best way to do this is to serve. Multiply it in other people's hearts. God's giving you good news. Multiply it in other people's hearts. Selflessly serving another comes from one who has gotten over oneself. You need to get over yourself if you're ever to love the person. Can I tell you something? The Bible says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. What do you like getting? Give what you like getting. Hey, I like coffee. I'm just saying. So gift cards. I mean, come on. Brian shouldn't be the only one that gets one, okay? It's my sixth time preaching. Now I'm just messing. Make me whole. Make me whole. Take that complete gift card and make me whole. But selflessly serving another comes from one who has gotten over themselves. Put the garment aside. A servant is one who is compelled by a passionate call, a heavy burden, and the bigger picture. God is creating a portrait, a masterpiece, a picture, and he wants to use you as a brushstroke. Not a brushstroke. Brushstroke. A kingdom servant is one who is fueled by the fire that is in the heart of Jesus to reach people. I got to say this. A servant is one who has taken on the privilege to be an attendant and an assistant. Come here, Brian. It's kind of like this. This is Jesus. And just say there's someone else here. And Jesus and them are hanging out, and they're doing their thing. And Jesus is like, I got this, but hey, Ryan, come here. And we grab each other's arms, and I get to assist him. To where he's in me, and I'm just going to stand like this, which is hilarious because Brian is so much bigger than me. Make Brian the one that, I'm Jesus. Where, watch. Isn't that amazing? Like, this is a servant that says, I'm so fueled by the love of Jesus that I will go where he wants me to go. I'll do what he wants me to do. This kind of seems like that game. That would be awesome.
Do in the back. Just go to the back for a second, like this. And little T-Rex arms, you know what I say?
But can I tell you something? This is really, really good. Doesn't he look like he's arrested right now? Can I tell you something? A servant is arrested by the passion of Jesus. To where, watch this, their arms are tied so his arms can come. And I promise you, Jesus doesn't have T-Rex arms. Okay. A servant is one who has taken on the privilege to be an attendant, one who is selflessly motivated, is satisfied with what they retain. One who is selfless is only satisfied when they are pouring out so that others can obtain. How do we get to this place? You fall on your heart, your face, and instead of saying, God, help me with my unbelief, that benefits me. Faith benefits me. Fall on your face and seek him until he makes you a better servant. People are dying because the life that's inside of us is trapped, hidden behind the wall of pride and selfishness. The selfish look for those who can serve them. The selfless look to whom they can serve. One who is selflessly motivated is satisfied and content with the riches they have. I'm sorry, selfishly motivated is satisfied and content with the riches they have retained, but lives with the frustration of something missing. But one who is fueled by love is looking how they can give, and they are the one who have a life filled with joy because they are fulfilling their true purpose by serving the one around them with what God has put in them, just as Christ their Savior did. Can I tell you something? The one who is selfishly retaining things will always know that there's something missing and will be incomplete and not whole, because serving makes you whole. Giving makes you whole. The active giver rejoices where the dormant giver, who knows they are to give, soaks in the pains of not fulfilling their purpose. One who retains what they contain is one who will selflessly be satisfied with what they have. The calling and purpose to give lays dormant, and this person will soon be dissatisfied with the riches they were to give. You guys okay? I'm winding down. Galatians 5, 13 through 15, it says this: For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. I'm subdued. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. The desire one has to receive what another contains is the desire God is leading us to. Let me say this again. The desire that, watch, the one has that have received something,
but has a desire to give, has captured God's heart. Radically supplied is the one who radically gives. God will continue to radically supply those who radically give. Hospitality in that day, again, was washing feet. It was saying, you are welcomed here. Jesus did that to us. We already talked about that, and we are talking about doing that for other people. But I want to end with this. We need to do this for Jesus. Serve him. But can I tell you something? We need to also give ourselves away to him so that when he serves us by telling us what we need to hear and maybe not what we want to hear, we need to pick up the water basin and the towel and say, that is welcomed here. I will serve you. I will serve that. I will welcome that. Remember, I talked last night about Simon the Pharisee who didn't get any water for Jesus' feet. It was like he was invited but not welcomed. We invite, come on somebody, we invite God's word, but are we willing, come on, to serve it? We love to hear it, but are we willing to serve it? We're willing to want it, but are we willing to serve it? And can I tell you something? There's a lot of people who God serves us and releases a word, but are we willing to pick up a water towel in a basin and say, God, here I am. I will selflessly lay myself down and serve this, because in serving what you're releasing in my life will bless me, I'll fulfill life, and I'll have soundness, and I'll be whole. If I can get Hannah to come up to the piano. Guys, I just want to encourage you all today. The greatest thing that you can serve is the thing that God deposits. The greatest thing that you can serve is the thing that God deposits. And is there like a drape for someone if they fall out or something? If not, don't take time trying to find it, because that just takes forever. But if there is something close, even if it's one of those fancy things someone was wearing, that would be cool. Because listen, guys, like, we invite Jesus. We invite the idea of like, man, God, I want what you have. I want to serve it. I want it, God. I want you to tell me what I'm supposed to do. And then he tells us what he wants us to do. And are we willing to lay aside that garment and serve it so that the word can be applied? Come on, somebody. So that we can experience things pass over. Can I tell you something? Rebellion attracts heartache. But obedience attracts the glory of God. I love my family and I love what I do in ministry. But you guys don't see. I don't know how. You don't see me holding my baby girl at 8 o'clock at night crying because dad, I know I'm leaving the next day. It's like I get homesick before I leave. most of the times. Not all the time, but sometimes. And I'll hold my baby girl knowing that she's gonna be awake when I get up to hit a flight or to get in the car and to drive. There is plenty of those now. Thank you, Judith. I just asked for one. My question is, like, we invite his word. Like, God, just give me a word. I love the prophetic. We invite the prophet. We invite it, but are we welcoming it? I wanted a calling. I like a calling. I want to serve it. But there's times like we like the calling and we want God to expound upon our calling. We like it, but are we willing to serve it? Like, I like the idea that eventually I'm going to get in front of politicians, but you know what? The scrutiny that we could face or the opposition we could face in those offices. But you know what? Like, there was a time I had to serve my enemy by praying a blessing over her. And Jesus, oh, this is good.
comes to me, and I'm garmented up. Got my water that I'm enjoying, but I'm willing to give. And we just say we're serving this enemy by praying blessing and conviction over them. Hey, Ryan, love you. You like hearing my voice? Yeah. Are you willing to serve and welcome what I'm about to say? Need you to pray a blessing over her. God, do you see how she's cursing me? I need you to pray a blessing over her. What I had to do is I had to put my garment aside. I had to pick up my towel, metaphorically. Humble myself, Ray. And wash. Serve. Caleb is such a pastor. He's just watching the water getting ready to fall. It's just water. And pour when I didn't want to pour. Lord, bless her. Convict her heart. Whatever I pray, I don't know how I pray, but Lord, I'm willing to do this. See, I was praying and I was inviting what God wanted to say, but when I took the garment off, humbled myself, I exalted his plan, and I served him. Ryan, I'm calling you to go and preach the gospel, and yes, you're going to have kids, and yes, you're going to miss them. But I'm willing to put the garment aside, get the towel, kneel down, and serve the nations. Ryan, I love you, and you're absolutely amazing. One time he spoke to me, and he said, Ryan, I don't want you to obsess over your approach. I want you to obsess over my embrace. What did I have to do? I had to welcome it. Throw aside my obsession of the embrace, my approach, religious approach, and get the garment and say, okay, God, I'll serve you. Ryan, take upon me. My burden is easy. My yoke is light. I'm teaching you, Ryan, to love your brother and serve this way. I served you. Now you serve them in this way. Be a reflection of this. Okay, God, I'll grab the towel, and I will do what is necessary to not just invite your word, but to serve it, to show you I've welcomed it, and I want it to rule and reign in my life. Stand with me. Guys, I gave you 48 minutes of truth, and I know it because I clocked myself. I'm going to do something, and I will help you clean up the mess. And if this is your precious knitting, well, no, there's no knitting on this. We're good. Watch this. Man, someone needs a big one, so we'll just throw... And I'm not saying we're going to have enough, but maybe you need to go up to the bucket. And I'm not saying this is going to be all prophetically prophetic stuff, but this is what we're going to do, just real quick. Today, maybe God has called you to something. He's dropped a towel down. Are you going to let it fall to the ground? Are you going to be like Elisha and pick up the mantle, pick up the towel, and say, God, I'm not just going to invite you to speak. I'm not going to just like more of your word. I'm going to take what I've already been given, and I'm going to welcome it, and I'm going to have it rule and reign in my life. And today, watch this. Maybe you need to come up here today and pick up one of these and have some time with Jesus. I feel like there's someone in here just really quick. You picked up a towel. You were serving somebody. They still ridiculed you, hurt you. So you stopped interceding for them, loving them, and serving them. And maybe God told you to. So be it. But for some, you did it out of selfishness and hurt and wounds, and you put the towel down. Maybe you need to come and repent and pick the towel back up. You might be like, that's just weird. These are just symbols of you and Jesus saying, you know what, God? I say yes, and I'm not going to just look at what has been invited. I'm going to be on reserve for this. I'm going to RSVP to this. I'm going to welcome this to roll and reign and dwell in my heart richly. And I'm going to do that by making a decision today that I will put aside what I need to put aside. I will pick up what I need to pick up. And I will do what is needed to serve what I want. I want to see a better marriage, so I'm going to pick up the towel, God, and I'm going to serve in the way that you've given me capacity and that you've given me direction in. The time of the church sitting dormant is over. I'm not saying just this church. I'm saying the body of Christ. There's a lot that you're looking at that's been invited by you, and God brought it. Jesus brought it. God spoke it, and you want more of it. But are you willing to serve it? Are you willing to take aside? I'm just taking this off because I'm hot. Or not hot, but I'm done with it. I'm done looking prim and proper. I'm sorry. When the one older than you looks more relaxed than you, that's a problem. And I'm talking about Pastor Tom. But maybe you're here, and I hope this is making sense. And I feel like those who have picked up the garment, picked up your cross, denied yourself, I really believe that God might want to just bless you and just pray for you and strengthen you in your work. But I feel like there's some that have been laying dormant. There's some who are looking at what they invited. Watch this. They're like, man, look what I invited. It showed up. That's really, really cool. And now it's time to welcome it. It's time to RSVP to it. It's time to say, here I am. I'm willing to lay aside my time to serve you, God. The big one again. To serve you, God. And so I want you to bow your heads. And as I pray and as I finish up, you might be here today and you might be like, you know what? I need to pick up that thing. The Lord told me what I need to do and I need to welcome it by serving it. I need to welcome it. I need to invite it and welcome it all over again by RSVP into it and saying yes to it and picking up the garment and going for it. Maybe God has told you to serve in a specific capacity, but you've been putting it off because it's an inconvenience for you. But you're going to put aside that inconvenience and say, you know what, Lord? I'm going to pick up the towel. You know what? I'm changing the title of this message. It's called Pick Up the Towel. So if you're here and you feel called, you're like, you know what? I just want to come up here. I want to pick up one of these garments and say, you know what? I know what I've invited, and it's been lingering, and it's been weighing on my heart that I need to serve it. I need to welcome it. I need to show it hospitality. I need to give myself away to it. I want you, if that's you, I want you to get up here right now. Grab one of these garments if you have to. And I don't want you to think this is weird. There's no power in the garment. It's just the symbolism. It's just a declaration. God, I'm going to pick this up and I'm going to serve in this way. God, I know what you've told me to do, and I'm going to pick up the towel and I'm going to do it. Now, I know the church is going to like this announcement. These aren't yours. You got to put them back in the tub later, okay? Caleb will tackle you. So I'm not here to say, please take it. This is not one. But for now, take it. Maybe some of you need to pick up, go to Dollar General and pick up a towel. Okay. And make it a prophetic symbol in your home. Pull out a towel from your cupboard and say, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pick up a towel and I'm going to serve selflessly. Because watch this. Some of you want wholeness and you're not going to feel whole, and your joy is not going to be filled until you serve the plans and purposes of God. So I'm just going to throw these down and I'm going to start praying. And I don't want you guys to be like, oh man, you know, we have a family dinner to get to. Are you really going to put family dinner in front of picking up the towel? I'm going to invite you. Come. Maybe you've picked up the towel and you just need the energy of the Lord, the strength of the Lord, the power of the Lord to come upon you and just really strengthen you or resource what you're doing or encourage what you're doing. Get up here. guys, I didn't want to throw away the garment, swallow my pride, and pray for blessing. But I eventually threw away the garment of pride and laziness, and that guy's got a big towel. He's got. I didn't want to do that. But man, the joy that came, the reward that came, the blessing that came. Thank you for your honesty, guys. And listen, I'm not judging anyone. Like, you coming up here doesn't mean that you're a failure, that you're not doing anything for your family. That's not what I'm trying to say. This actually is an act of surrender to something. To say, I heard it, but now I welcome it. I strip any condemnation off. And what I want you to do if you're up here, and if you don't feel comfortable coming up, that's cool, pray at your seat. But I just pray that you would come up. But if you don't, that's fine. But I pray that you would just take some time with Jesus. You know, we sang a song, and I preached a message on Friday night about his eyes or something like that. And we sang a song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And I don't know if you know that song by memory, but if you can play that in a minute. And I want us to just turn our eyes towards Jesus. But can I ask you to do something in this time of prayer? I want you to make a declaration to the Lord. I'm grabbing the towel. I want you to make a declaration. And when you hear, but when you leave, I want there to be a dedication. You're declaring that you're dedicating yourself to this. But I want there to be acts of dedication where you're saying, you know what? I am going to serve selflessly. I'm going to serve what I want. Maybe that's why God put the want there in the first place. It's because it wasn't about what you were going to receive. It was about what you were called to. What you were called to do. And God knew there needed to be a want to draw you to it. There is someone who in here that put it down. You need to pick it back up. You picked it. You put it down. There's no condemnation, but pick it back up. So just turn your eyes towards Jesus when we sing this song. Pray with him. You don't need me to pray for you right now. Pray with him. Pray to him. Talk to him is what I should say. Make a declaration of dedication and then go out and be dedicated to this thing. You know, they quoted that verse, Caleb, don't get weary in well-doing. Don't get weary in doing good. I just want to just encourage you, don't get weary in doing good. Because your dedication and your declaration will be opposed. There will be opposition. But God wants to get you to a place where you pick up the towel and do it anyways. And as we listen to this song, I want you to say, you know what? I not only turn my eyes towards you, Jesus, I'm directing my yes to you. And I choose to pick up the towel and serve, welcome what you've spoken over me that I've invited. Maybe some of you just need, God gave you a sweet relational word like he did me. Don't obsess over your approach. Obsess over my embrace. And it's just a good word. Pick up the towel and give your lives to it and choose to believe it. Serve it with your belief and welcome it so it rules and reigns in your life. Let's go into that song for a moment. Strangely
just dawned on me, this is a day of great celebrations, and of course one of them we know is Brian's ordination. Isn't it neat that he's already picked up his towel? And on the day that we've acknowledged the towel that he's picked up for the bride, is God directed me to preach this kind of message. Amen. Brian shouldn't be the only one.
Amen.
Not saying ordained, but he shouldn't be the only one that picks the towel up and serves selflessly.
Amen.
So Lord, we just thank you for this time and this hour. Before I pass the mic, I bless this woman of God and man of God more, Jesus. Lord, I pray you strip off all pain and wounds that came from the miss. We miss it sometimes. It's okay. All the pains and the wounds that were inflicted by missing it or never even trying in the first place, strip that wound, strip that bondage, strip that burden. Bring healing, God, to these two in Jesus' name. But Lord, I thank you. God says you're going to get it right this time. You're getting it right this time. God says, I haven't condemned you, I forgave you. You're not exiled, you're received and embraced. God loves you. And I feel like you guys are coveting what you had before you missed it. God says, I'm a God of reconciliation. And God is bringing reconciliation and redemption. And he has brought reconciliation and redemption. And I just prophesy over you guys that you're going to get to a place where you can't, there's no room to covet your past because of just operating in the present, operating in what you lost, but then some. God says you're going to go back, you're going to go away from longing to get it back to longing for the insight of how to steward it. Steward what you lost because it's here and it's yours. And there's now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ. God has not exiled you. I'm not saying this applies, but if God can restore a marriage, if he can restore that which was lost in a marriage, if God can restore that which is lost through our salvation, oh my gosh, he can definitely restore what we lost through our rebellion. And I believe this is a season of restitution. And this is a season of healing. And I feel like, of course, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And there's things that have been stolen that are being returned. But I feel like there is people that have physically done some things to take from you guys. But this is a season of restitution. And this is a season of radical inheritance. So, Lord, we bless that in Jesus' name. Guys, I'm not going to be in a rush. I'll be here if you want to talk or pray, but I am going to hand the mic back. Thank you guys for letting me be here. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.